and thank you for tuning into the Attack and Release Show. My name is Matt, and I am joined by my good friend from Nashville, Sam Moses.
Howdy, my friends.
On today's episode, we are going to be talking about, I guess we did this episode, I think it aired like last August, and we did it a little bit late. I don't know why we did it so late. Did it air in August?
I don't know.
I remember it aired kind of late. I'm going to go back and I'm going to look. But anyway, I'll do the intro. Oh, it aired in June. Okay, so we're not that far off. But I always felt weird doing this episode like really far outside of the first quarter of the year. So we're going to do this episode in the first quarter of the year. Today's episode is called Marketing in 2024. We've done one of these episodes every year. It's not a burner episode, but it's definitely good to chat about marketing and how you should be getting yourself out there if that's really, you know, the thing you want to do. And so what do you think about that, Samuel?
I think it's great, and I definitely think it's probably one of the most important episodes we do, because your business doesn't exist without good marketing in 2024.
And that's it.
So boom.
But before boom, all boom, of that, boom. Why don't you take us into a little bit of our marketing and dive into housekeeping?
Great. Hello, my friends, listener, audience. It's that unique time called housekeeping. Once again, we need your help. If you can screenshot this episode and help us out, please tag me, Moses Mastering, tag Matt, or The Record Mastering. We will reshare your post and then say hi and chat. That is really why we love doing it. Our community is growing. We're meeting more and more of you, and it is just lovely. We learn things about each other. We learn things about mastering. We learn things about business, about marketing. When we share, we care, and we finish records better together. So screenshot this episode, tag us. If you can do us a solid, take 30 seconds now. Pause the episode if you want. Leave us some stars, subscribe. Helps us go out further into the podcast universe, which has been fun to get to meet new people and new groups. Okay. That's housekeeping. Thank you.
Is it bad that every episode that we've done since Josh was on, I'm always like, I wonder what Josh would say in this episode. So
he'd probably tell us that our intro is too long, everything is too long, and that we need to be quicker, more entertaining.
People just aren't listening that long, guys.
Yeah, they're just not listening. They don't care about you that much. He's probably correct.
I do think I'd be curious to look at the longevity of the long form podcast in 2024. I'm not going to say people don't have attention spans, but doing like an hour plus podcast in 2024, are people listening to that? I don't necessarily know. I feel like if I had to. So like my other company, we had a podcast and we talked about, oh, what would happen if we relaunched it? And the first thing I said is, I don't think I would do long form. I think I would hold it to like 20 to max 45 minutes of worth of content. I even think 45 is a bit long. Granted, this episode's going to be probably 45 minutes to an hour. So what do I know? But practice what you preach. I think you're right. He'd be like, it's too long. Anyway, so marketing in 2024. Mm-hmm. Samuel, if you had to start again today.
Yes.
How would you do it?
If I was starting.
Like marketing.
From scratch today, I would 100% be an influencer. I would 100% go down the content route and form relationships with people. If you are not in a music city that you have accessibility to labels, producers, A&Rs, publishers, other people, if you cannot go to a coffee shop in your town and bump into people who make records, then you most likely need to be bumping into people on the internet more often. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to increase your chances of bumping into people, which usually means you need to crank out great content to attract attention to then start forming relationships. I still believe at the core, just like every episode I've ever said, is you need to be an honest person. You need to present your services at some point. You need to ask for essentially the sale and the close. You need to have all that stuff. You can just listen to previous episodes about all that. But really, I think if I was genuinely starting over, like, influencer content is definitely, you know, a big deal. And if Moses Mastering just launched today, I would be making probably vlogs. I would be making all sorts of content, sharing content, trying to collaborate on content in order to build my presence online. Now, some people might say, like, well, why don't you just do that now? And to be 1,000% transparent, because I always keep it 100 with our audience, I don't need to do that. Like, I started my business at a different time. Like, I started my business 14 years ago. I've been in Nashville almost 11 years. It was a different landscape then, and I sound like such an old fart talking like this, but it was a different time, and one-on-one relationship building was still highly valued. In-person stuff was highly valued, still is highly valued in Nashville. I do believe that. And I could market pretty straightforward and know who's a mixer, who actually does this for a living, artists. But now it's a bit more difficult, in my opinion, to know, like, who actually makes records and who, as opposed to, like, who is kind of like an entertainer who happens to do music as well. And that's something I've seen, like, within artists, is like you'll have a bunch of entertainers on TikTok who are basically, like, you know, they create sketches, they do brand things, and then they put out a song, but they're not really an artist in the traditional sense. Like, they're probably not going on tour. You know, their song's probably not going to be on the radio, but it's just another, you know, essentially another income stream for them. It's diversification. So if I was in mastering starting over, I would lean way more into diversification of me as a brand, as a company, because I think the audio world has changed and is changing quickly. And I think what people value is changing as well. And we've kind of talked about that on and off the last year. And we have that bubble episode too that I think will already be out. And so I think that, you know, you need to play the game essentially of business. And a lot of the game right now is attention manipulation, content creation, you know, collaboration online, getting followers, getting, you know, even sponsorships, things of that nature. It all is avenues to gain revenue and also gain attention. And I think that's what I would do, like, to fast track me in the music world. I would probably do something like that. And whether or not that's good or bad or feels sleazy or not, I don't care. But that's my honest answer, is like, if you don't currently have a large client base and you haven't been around and or I'll say successful for the last 10 years and you're just in year like one or two or three, or just starting or thinking like, hey, how do I transition out of my job and start mastering, or how do I get this thing really going because I've been trying for a year and nothing's working, I would 100% get on influencer train and start making content, because there is not a lot of good audio content, in my opinion. There's not a lot of good mastering audio content / influencers, in my opinion. And I think if someone was to do it with, I'll say, a pure heart, and not so much, you don't have to be a clickbait, sleazy influencer. You can be a genuine person on the internet and share your process, share your journey, share your story. I think that's when I look at other industries, people that do that well are lifestyle vloggers. They're sharing. It's what freaking Gary Vee has been saying for like 10 years is like, share the process, not just like the wins. Don't share the success. Share the how did you get there and the trials.
I literally have that as my next thing I was going to ask you about.
But I believe in it. Like, I follow some influencers who are not in the music industry, and I like watching their journey. I enjoy learning about other industries and what they have to deal with, and problems and successes and wins and failures. You know, it's like watching a good movie, like a real story. And it is a real story, hopefully, you know, of what they're portraying. But I think when I check out audio influencers, it always feels very much like an ego thing, or like, look what I can do, or I'm so special, or I've cracked the code, or I've figured it out, or here's really how you do it. And I think part of it has to do with, I genuinely believe, like, the music industry is dominated by male ego, and there's a lot of, you know, pros and cons to that. I'll say that. I do wish there were more, you know, I'll say females involved in the industry, especially on the engineering side. Not really going to go down that road here, but I think when you get a bunch of essentially kind of introverted, nerdy slash now engineering is cool rock star blend of males, like ego going, then you get a lot of that insecure content that is just like, here's my $30,000 piece of gear and here's how you really do it. And this is, you know, it's just like this constant content that's full of essentially insecurity to try and make people think you're awesome. When in reality, I think someone could really come along and share the process of day one. Like, if you're listening and you are like, man, I'd love to have a mastering career, but I don't even know where to start. That should be your video number one on TikTok or Instagram, is like day one. I've been seeing people do this in other industries, like day one of me, you know, posting my art until I get into a gallery, or, you know, this is day one of me doing this until I, you know, figure out how to make $1 million in the stock market. Those sorts of things are really catchy. And I also think it's kind of fun, like, to have a daily update of that. And so if I was a new engineer, I would just film the process. I'd say like day one of trying to be a mastering engineer, and then I would post this episode that you listened to us and that was part of your day. So that's my opening remarks. Influence is huge, content is necessary, and then wrap that all up in a genuine package of honesty and letting people know that, you know, you care, you do care about the record, but there's so many great tools now that you can use to your advantage to reach thousands of people instantly and for free. And if you are not taking advantage of that, I do think you're going to struggle. So yeah, that's my thoughts. What about you, Matt? Marketing 2024. Riff.
So it's there's a lot of different ways you can go. I think that if you were to try to take the route, say, that you and I took, I would say it's a bit of an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And it can happen, but I think it would be more of a grind. Unfortunately, or fortunately, today video is king.
Yep.
And doing something that not a lot of people understand on video, you know, well, you know, maintaining some of the stuff that you don't want people to know, essentially ensuring your, what do you call it? You know, ensuring your spot, let's say, I think is smart. Video is king.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where, like, if, like, Sam and I have talked about this quite extensively, but we've thrown around the idea of doing video for this podcast. And it's like, I know that if a podcast doesn't do video, then essentially, like, they're, like there's a clock on essentially how long people are going to be listening for. And potentially the growth. I don't think a lot of people, I don't know, this is just me personally, because like the markets evolve so quick, I feel like people aren't as actively seeking out podcasts as, you know, they were a long time ago. Now, don't get me wrong, I've been in this landscape quite a bit. I've done podcasts since 2012. And I've had fun. I've done podcasts since before they're called podcasts. We just called it a radio show. Mm-hmm. And I've just loved, you know, the whole like broadcast aspect. And it's like, you know, I have a face for radio, so that helps too. But it's like, I do think that video is king. And those are really the things that really are pushing stuff forward. It's like YouTube, TikTok, and I don't know, whatever the heck else, other things. I mean, it's actually kind of funny because it's like one of the questions I have down on here is, you know, is social media still relevant? And it's like, as much as I know we're going to say yes, like to a degree, it's like, okay, and we're going to probably say Instagram and whatnot. It's like, at what point is like, you know, like Facebook is to boomers as Instagram is to millennials. And so it's just like, oh yeah, you found your cute little place where like you came to see your friends, but you don't see your friends anymore because the algorithm doesn't want you to see your friends. And so my Gary V question was, is Gary V right in the whole mantra of like, oh, you need to be posting like 70 pieces of content a week. And it's like, that's only like 10 a day and stuff like that. And I feel like to a degree, he's reached a point, I may have said this already on this podcast, I can't remember, or maybe just to you, he's reached a point of like, he's gone so far in these types of claims to where like, I don't think if anyone who posts 70 pieces of content a week, you're probably going to establish some type of following just because it's literally like you're going arbitrage on whatever platform you're going on. But it's also like he's reached a point of return of like how he can't be wrong, because it's like, Gary, I can't really, you know, we're not really getting the following that we want. He's like, well, did you post 70 pieces of content a week like I've been saying to post? He's like, no, we don't have the time. We can only really get to 50. Well, you're not doing what I said. And then next year he goes up to 90. And it's like, well, damn it, man. Like, right. When is enough enough? Like, when is enough content enough? When is like being social enough? And when do I get to just live my life? There's also something to be said of, you know, like making your life's goal to live a, make it like, yeah, like make it the purpose of your life to like live a quiet life. And it's like, that sounds really nice to me right now after being bombarded with everything social since the early 2000s and all trying to get your name out there and do this and do that and just try to be the loudest. And I mean, let's be honest. It's like the internet is literally like my other company, we are trying to educate people with our content to the point to where, one, there's no other, if like you're genuinely consuming our content through an educational lens, there is no other product to buy except for our product, because we believe in our product and the quality that we have so much that also, too, if we ever drop the ball, then we expect you to go somewhere else. Because if we drop the ball, that means somebody else is upholding the quality that we've taught you to essentially expect from that type of product. And so it's like, you know, you have all this and it's like, but like to a degree, it's like, we're also fighting against the loudest idiot, because like we live in a world that is like so loud right now to where like the loudest idiot online is generally the one who, it's like in the old days, like, yep, they wrote the book on mastering. It's like, well, not always, because they're just the loudest idiot. That doesn't mean that they're right. They could be 100% wrong, but they're just the loudest. And the world is full of so much knowledge, but so little understanding. And so it's like, that's the question of like, how do you cut through all the junk with the knowledge and the understanding behind it? Because with understanding comes humility, and with understanding comes like genuinity, I think that's a word. And with, and behind that comes like the actual like caring that people have a quality experience with whatever you're doing online. And that could just be vlogging. That just could be like, you know, sharing a little bit about you. And it's like, well, what about me who doesn't want to share? It's like, I kind of want to live a quieter life. So what does that mean for me, you know, as I'm actively sharing with you? So it's a bit of a conundrum. It's a bit of a catch-22. It's a bit of a, what are you doing with your life, Matt? Am I going to make 70 pieces of content a week? I don't think so. But it's like if I had to start today, to go back to question one, if I had to start today and I really wanted to tackle this, I think I would find a very unique way to let people on the inside. And whether that's like Sam, you know, through like being an influencer, through vlogging. I mean, if you have a voice out there, then you're an influencer. I would say that Sam and I are. I don't like that word. I don't want to influence anyone. I just want them to essentially strive for a better master. Whether that's with me, whether that's with Sam, whether that's with whoever, I want you to have the best sounding music and the best sounding master you possibly can. Mine is literally the chase after, like, how do we make this art as, like, ready for the listener as possible? And that's genuinely my heart, not like, oh, yeah, let's get another $100 from this guy. So I think I would share. I think I would share not a lot, but I think I would do a lot more than I do now. I don't really need to, because, I mean, Sam, you've said it's like you have work that just comes in after a while. That's just how it rolls. You just have work that just comes in and you have your clients and you've built that relationship. And it's just a fun thing to keep going and to... I mean, you really don't even need to maintain it. You're just a human being to other human beings. You care about them and you care about, you know, how their stuff sounds. And you care about that they have the best sounding product, you know, on the airwaves. So let me make sure I'm reading all of my things. I do think there's one other way to do all this. And I talked about this in the bubble episode, which I believe is going to be the episode before this episode. There's another way to do it. It's a slow burn kind of a way. I think it'll work, but you need a very, very unique community of people in order to do that. You need to have a group of people who genuinely value what each other brings to the table. But at the same time, a community that's willing to push each other for that growth, whether that's positive or negative. And negative meaning not like, you know, like putting a gun to your head, be like, make a better master. But like you have like, say, more than one mastering engineer in that environment. So you have active competition. Competition isn't always bad, even though it may seem like that. And like at the time, that competition might strive you to push yourself to a little bit better of a product. Like, oh, how are they doing that? Like, that's like, I don't know. Like, occasionally losing a shootout might make you a better person. Hearing what came out, be like, how do they do that? That sounds great. And now you're on a little bit of an investigative journey and not hopefully, you know, curled up in a ball and whimpering, oh, my life is over as a mastering engineer. So, Sam,
Matt,
I suppose I already answered this for me. Is social media relevant, and which channels?
I think social media is relevant. I think it's really important. I do. I think most of the world consumes it. I think obviously like audio kind of lives on social media in general as a brand, you know, and then obviously audio lives on streaming sites, which streaming sites more and more even are kind of making themselves, I feel like, into social media accounts. Because as an artist now, you can have your merch, you can have like a gallery of photos. They keep adding things that are basically like a social media page. And obviously you can follow artists, you can add now music to your profile, like your personal profile of other people, and you can kind of create your own identity on Spotify now, like a social media account. You know, more and more, I feel like they're sneaking in features that they don't talk a lot about. At least I don't feel like they do. But I think social media is important. I think it's relevant. I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, my gut feels like social media has done more harm than good overall.
I agree.
I feel like it's really cranked the dial on just devaluation of everything. And technology has kind of done that as a whole. I mean, once...
It's a lot of garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah. And the fact that an algorithm is essentially truly the king more than content, like an algorithm, unfortunately, just doesn't know the difference between good content and bad content. It just knows the difference between what's getting attention and not, and then whatever dial the platform has decided to push, usually because it makes the money from businesses that they sell your information to. Social media is just
if it's free,
big,
you're the product.
Right, exactly.
If you want some marketing information, if it is free, then you are the product.
Yes, right. I feel like social media really, you know, I'm happy to answer the question, which is like, I think it's super important, super relevant to having a career in audio, especially if you don't live in a music town. Like I said, I just don't know how you reach enough people to build an actual company and career without having a large net to cast into the internet to get enough clients to get it going and get it sustainable and to make a name for yourself. At the same time, you know, internally, I would say what I tell most people that do email me about this is like, you only need like 30 or 40 people total. So it's possible that you don't play the social media game, you don't play the content game, and you do just do the most basic, essentially emailing, you know, or DMing of people and trying to build a relationship that way, which I do think has high value. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's the fastest way, the quickest way to build a following or a company or customers. I'm not sure, but I do feel like social media is really important. I do think you can make a lot of money on it. Obviously, I'm not like really sharing anything new. Most people know that. But I do think it's not great overall. Like, I don't see it being a sustainable. It's like, I kind of view social media as like the gold rush, which I don't know much about. But like, I think we forget that social media really hasn't been around that long in like the grand scheme of time. Same with even like my business. My business is like 14 years old. That's not very long. It's a long time, but not really. You know, and I think that as much as we do hype social media, I do feel like it's at a diminishing return state on some level. I feel like social media is really important still, but I also feel like it's on the other side of its peak. As far as social media as we know it. Now it could shift into more interactive, augmented reality, something like that, essentially a new format or way to experience social media, you know, Meta, essentially. I don't know if any of that will catch on, if that's just like, you know, idea number one and someone else is going to refine all that and figure out what humans really do want to be a part of while also blending tech and augmented reality. Mm. But I do feel like social media is important. So if you're not on it, I guess I'll tell you to get on it if you want to do this. And if you don't want to do this, you know, then I would probably suggest picking a different career or just doing it for fun, like strictly for fun, all hobby. And I have like a lot of friends now at this stage. I probably have 20 friends who have just quit in the last few years music, gotten a 9-to-5, and they're happy as can be, and they still make records. You know, they make more records than they did before because they actually have money and they have some energy to do it. You know, they work like a a normal 9 to 5 that
it's a passion again.
Yeah, it's like they enjoy it. You know, they're still doing some shows here and there. You know, they the pressure's off, so they just put out what they want when they want. They change styles, they mess around with, you know, they're creative again. There's a lot of people in town that have pivoted that because it's more and more difficult to make money just off of music. And I think that's kind of all of, you know, summarize like what I'm saying is like, it's really hard to just make a living off your songs. And if you are not an influencer with multiple revenue streams, just like the higher ups, you know, they're all Drake's and Taylor Swift's, they're all invested in hundreds of things. You know, like Jay-Z became a billionaire not from his music. It's from his investments in companies and building companies. And I think all the big players, if you looked at their taxes, I bet the actual music would be maybe the smallest part of what they make, you know, for a living compared to brand deals, endorsements, investments, company investments, real estate, you know. So, unfortunately, I do feel like music as a whole, it's really hard to just make records, you know, and unless you're like a legacy artist. But yeah, social media, super important. I think it's a really low-hanging fruit way to market yourself, market your company, get yourself out there. But at the same time, if you don't want to play that game, I want to say that is fine. You know, but there's an acceptance of reality then of what that may mean, which don't let me stop you from trying a different way, you know, or whatever. Like, I'm just a guy sharing some random thoughts. So it's, you know, but I do think I get a lot of people who, you know, still haven't made a website, still haven't made an Instagram, still haven't made, you know, any sort of essentially presence online. So it's really hard, you know, to even like refer someone to them, because people always say like, can you send me their work? Can you, where are they? You know, like even labels, like they're where's your credits? You know, where's your this and that? So there's kind of like some basic things that people seem to want to see and check out in our industry to then see if you're credible. And if you decide not to partake in that, then you have to accept that you may not ever do X, Y, and Z, or you may never really make a career out of it, you know, that has length and longevity. You know, an example for me is I don't really play the politics game in mastering. I've very much always basically stayed independent. You know, I've had some opportunity to probably go to the larger facilities, or if I wanted to work my way in there, I could, which would then probably lead to some really big A-list type records. But I enjoy the freedom I have. I enjoy the hours I work, and I'm hitting the goals that I've created for me and my family. And so I accepted a few years ago that, you know, I probably won't ever do a Taylor Swift record. It's just, it's not how this game works. And that's, I don't even view it as a negative thing. I just, when you accept reality, things just kind of lose their intensity a bit. And, you know, you kind of understand how this game works, how labels work, how, you know, who gets all the big records. Just look at who gets them. It's pretty much Sterling, and they have contracts with labels. Like, you know, you're up against, you know, you're up against, I don't even know how to say it. You're up against Goliath, essentially. And that doesn't mean you can't beat Goliath, but I think what I want to say with like a David and Goliath story is like David...
From what I remember, it didn't really turn out well for Goliath.
Didn't turn out well for Goliath, but what I want to say is if you run, you know, David and Goliath story 10 times, 9 out of 10 times, Goliath's going to win. You know, and one time David's going to win, you know, from a pure miracle. And I think for reality, you know, a lot of us are essentially going after Goliaths. You have to go after Goliaths to really crank the dial on volume, no pun intended, but mastering is a quantity game. On some level, to really make it into a sustainable living that you can live off of, buy a house, you know, show on taxes that you do make money, et cetera, raise a family. It costs a lot of money to do all that. And so you got to do a lot of songs. And so, you know, you're competing against the big time people. But I think social media is on some level a great equalizer to all that, because it allows you to create, you know, trust, create a voice, create a brand, and reach as many people as those big box companies do, or even more, you know, if you're in tune of kind of how social media works. So anyway, that is a long thought.
And I can let you touch on this. You want to touch on that Musso AI? I would say that's social media.
Oh, Musso AI, yeah. Musso AI. No idea if that's how you say it correctly. But yeah, MUSO.AI is a... it's really kind of the most popular, and I'm going to say the most well-done credit organization company that's out there. And I started seeing them probably a couple of years ago. And they essentially have created a very interesting platform where, you know, you get to see your credits and they rank you, which is really interesting. And then they update every week, essentially, the rankings of the top mastering engineers or songwriters. And they keep track of all your stats, you know, your streams, your views, all that stuff for all your artists. And it's very interesting because within it, too, they've created their own, like, reward system. And then instant, you can buy your plaques. So I've seen people on the internet, like, they're
you
now...
You can buy yourself a trophy.
Yeah, they're buying themselves trophies and putting up, like, oh, I have 3 million streams, you know, presented to me, essentially, that you bought. And it's just such a, once again, it circles back to, like, they have perfectly, in my opinion, poked the male ego. Because when you go down that top list of engineers, it's all guys, you know, like, it's all guys. And there's a competition now on that site. And I created one a couple months ago because I had somebody at a label basically say, hey, you've done a lot of records. People don't really know that. Your all music isn't at all accurate. I've been in so many shootouts now. This has been one of the interesting thing about Musso is I have reclaimed mastering credits that were given to big famous guys that I won shootouts in and they never let them know. There's been at least 20 credits I've reclaimed from other people that had them, of some larger records. And so it's just a really interesting site. It really feels like a ego stroke. I resisted creating an account for a long time because it felt just very self-serving. And kind of like this, it could be an addiction thing where you start to watch how you do every week because it sends you email updates, you know, of your analytics of, oh, you rose 3% here and down here and this week you're streamed less. And it's like, you know, my brain instantly did care. Like, as much as I don't care about it, if someone's sending you an email that says you dropped 8 spots this week, you're kind of like, whoa, wait, how? Who's beating me? Well, who's ahead of me? Like, you know, it feels like a big deal, but it's not, because what they've created is like a fake, score system, which is really interesting. But everybody seems to be talking about it. People seem to be really interested in who's, you know, the top. And, you know, for me, I actually really enjoyed getting all my credits in one spot, and it's not all of them at all, the extent of it, but a lot of them are on there now that were not anywhere on AllMusic or anything. And I have spent years trying to, if you are out there and you've ever tried to contact AllMusic and go through their process, it's a nightmare, and you literally pretty much never get anywhere on it. So, you know, my All Music, I think, says I have like maybe a couple hundred credits. And then the Muso one, immediately I was able to get, you know, like 5,000 going. And then I'm trying to get like the other 10,000 on there, which is going to be like years of work in theory. But yeah, it was, for me, it was a nice thing to see it all. It was fun to see, in theory, if I'm being transparent, where I ranked, you know, on the scale of master engineers and the percentage based on the streams I do and the artists I work with. That was honestly very fulfilling and kind of like a nice recognition. Whether or not their system of scoring is accurate, you know, you get to see stream counts and all that and how you stack up to people. And it was, it did validate my career on some level. And then since then, you know, I've been able to use that for a couple people within the label world to show like, these are the records I did do and you didn't even know that. And that has gotten me more work and credibility on some level. So I found value in it, but I fear, and I think it's already happened, like most people, and just like social media, like you really care about how many followers you get. That's kind of, people are talking about this site in a very similar way of like very concerned about where they stack up, you know, on there. And it can be a very, I'll say, mentally exhausting thing if you're going to check that thing every week or whatever. Like I unsubscribed from all updates on it and notifications because I don't want to know. Like it doesn't really matter. It was fun. It's fun to know. And it's a nice place that I can have credits dumped to organize it all for marketing, essentially. But outside of that, like it's not good for me mentally to see myself go up or down every week like a stock, like because my value is not based on that. And I think that whole site is making people you know, value their number as opposed to valuing them as a human. And that to me is like a risky thing to get involved with, and probably long term is going to make people feel pretty inadequate, you know, when they are constantly checking their ranking and probably seeing it go down as more popular people get on there. So anyway, that's my view of Muso. Matt, thoughts?
My thoughts are pretty quick and succinct. I don't know. I just view things through a very like black or white lens. Like it's not, it's like, I mean, it's either like yes or no, A or B. I saw a lot of it as like, oh, so I'm going to put all of my self-worth into this. And I didn't initially approach it negatively. I approached it kind of like, oh, I wonder if this is what, like, you know, all the other credit tracking sites, like, I wonder if this was the reaction of an older engineer when those credit tracking sites came out and they're like, I'm going to put all my credits on here. And then it's like, oh, now a new thing's out. So I was kind of like, you know, analyzing my reaction to it. And then I was like, I saw the ranking thing and I'm like, oh, this is like a self-worth meter. And then like, I saw there was like a thing of like, this person dropped down like 8 places. And it's like, since scrolling through, it's like seeing like Doug Sachs, who's passed away. Doug Sachs is the reason that it, like every independent mastering engineer currently does what they do. He was the first. He also arguably has some of the most sought after like vinyl cuts of all time, and like audiophiles like seek out like the Mastering Labs like stuff that Doug Sachs cut. And he's probably one of the most important mastering engineers out there. So like seeing him, seeing Bob Ludwig, who's now retired, who's worked on some of the most important music to come out, seeing Greg Calbi, who's worked on some of the most important music to come out. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And like seeing like other people ranked higher just because like they got more credits in the past week or something than they did. It's like, these are retired guys. So in theory, as this goes, like, Bob Ludwig's number's not going up. So he's just going to keep on falling. Like, he's retired, but he's a freaking legend. And so it's like seeing that, and it's like, I don't immediately try to see things, you know, devil's advocate style, but I'm definitely like, man, I don't know about this. And so, like, I signed up, I got an account, and then I was like, all right, let's go look up Matthew Garber. And I looked up, and there were like five or six Matthew Garbers. And I was like, well, but they all had my credits. And I was like, all right, how do I get them all in one? And then I looked up For the Record Mastering, and there was like one or two of those, like For the Record Mastering, but like they were all my credits. And I was like, well, how the hell do I get all these in one? And I was like, whatever. And like, I don't really. They go, make it your life's work to lead a quiet life. And I was like, I want to try to calm down. So I was like, I like unconnected whatever account I connected. And then I was like, whatever, I'm unplugging from this. And I didn't like delete my account. I don't know if I really looked that much, but I unconnected whatever was connected to me. So if anyone wants those credits, go ahead and take them. I'm not going to fight for them. It's like, I know the work I did. It's okay. I'm proud of what I've done. That's my thing on that. But in all honesty, it's like, will people probably look to that for marketing? Yeah, I think they will. And to see essentially like, well, the work that you've done, I think that's important. Sure. But you essentially are the one to decide whether or not you want to put your value in that. There's a lot of introspection I feel that needs to happen in 2024. And I don't know, it might just be me getting older. As a 20-year-old, I was not having this type of like thought process. Mm-hmm. It was just like grind, grind, grind. Could be Gary Vee. I don't know. Could have been like, you know, it was a very different time back then. I mean, we were coming out of the recession. And the joke was, is that like there was no one hiring. It's like everyone wanted to hire a virgin with 3 years sexual experience. It's like there was like the market was completely on its head. And they wanted people who they could mold, but yet had tons of experience. And it was just like, yeah. And so we saw a massive entrepreneurial boom, which was cool because people said, okay, well, if these companies aren't hiring, I'm just going to start my own thing, which is cool. I think that's why you saw a lot of like the grind culture. And I don't know if I'm just tired of it, but I do see like Musso, whatever it is, perpetuating it. And I was like, meh, yeah, I think I'm good. But if I were just starting out, man, I would be all over that. And if I had to sink my teeth into stuff, I think I would do the exact opposite of what I'm doing. I would overshare. Mm-hmm. I would like lean heavily into video. I would show my process to a degree. I would at least talk about stuff, but then I would like, I don't know, maybe do like a time lapse of me working or something like that. From behind or something, so like people couldn't like, you know, client story time, privacy and everything. Maybe passively talk about some cool stuff that I was working on or whatnot. Is social media relevant? I don't really know. And it's like, you essentially need to find your like niche and where you're going to be. But if you want to, if you're starting out, you need to be everywhere and kind of be cool with that being an exhausting endeavor. We're kind of out of time and I have one more bullet point. I think we might wrap here. How much time do you have?
I got 5 minutes.
What are the markets currently doing, Sam?
What are the markets currently doing?
And then take us home.
You mean like what is the mastering engineer market currently doing?
Sure.
Is that the question?
Well, like what are the markets doing? Like how are people finding people? Like do people even need to find people?
I mean, for me,
keep it to 5 minutes.
I think referral and word of mouth. I mean, that's how people find me. People do find me via records, though, now that there is more credits. Like,
yeah.
I do have that where people are like, I looked it up and your name was on it. I get a lot of social media, Instagram tags. You know, the mixer, the producer, the band will tag me, and that's very nice of them. And then someone will say, hey, I saw you were tagged in this record. I love it. You know, what are your rates? Blah, blah. That I get a good amount of that. That's where I feel like social media is pretty relevant.
You know what I think is silly that we do?
What?
I think everybody collectively releasing their new songs on Friday is really dumb.
Yeah, I think that's a bit odd.
I think there's a massive market, you know, on the other 6 days of the week. Mm. And like everyone's releasing on Fridays. Like if I was an artist, I would not release on Friday. And I would find a way more unique way to drop my music.
Yeah.
Because like what a better way to get lost than do the same thing that everyone else is doing at the exact same time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of dumb.
You could, you know, if you're an artist, just curate your whole marketing around like, I drop music on Tuesday, you know, like.
Yeah.
And you train your audience, you know, to do that. And they will. They'll go find you on Tuesday. But yeah, I mean, my view of the market is, you know, referral, get your name out there, get it tagged, and make sure people always know who you are, what you do, and where they can find you. Been saying that for 14 years. People, like, it's really as simple as that, but you got to have people talking about you. You need to be on the top of people's mind. You know, you need to be the second, third call to get that opportunity. So, you know, market to the higher ups and market to the lowers. Market to everybody. That's all I got.
There you go. All right. If you're still listening to this part of the episode, so per Josh's part of the episode, he's not listening. He turned this off
about Josh. 30
minutes ago. Bye, Josh. Every, like, when we hit 30 minutes on our recording, we should just be like, bye, Josh.
Bye, Josh.
That's how you know the episode's halfway over. Ooh. So if you are still recording, if you're still listening, if you wouldn't mind, well, I want you to say thank you to Sam for putting these episodes together. That's the first thing I want you to do. I want, every time somebody says thank you to Sam, I want him to blush just from your gratitude, which is an extension of mine. And so I think these episodes sound awesome, and I don't think they would sound nearly as awesome if he were not a part of the podcast and putting these together. So if you wouldn't mind telling him thank you, I'd appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind taking a screenshot of this moment and sharing it on social media, as relevant as you think it is. Oh, man. It's like the race to the bottom.
Yep.
I would appreciate it. Sam would appreciate it. And yeah, if you need a mastering engineer, Sam can be found at Moses Mastering. I can be found at For The Record Mastering. And so, with that, morning, afternoon, evening, whatever y'all are having, have a darn good one. We're out of here. Sam's off to make Taco Boys. I was going to say Taco Boys, but I was like, no, Taco Boy is
Taco Boy.
A delicious restaurant here. He's off to make taco bowls for the family. And I saw a grill notification light up on my phone. So the Traeger is running at home. I got to get going. Get you a significant other that can grill you, smoke you food while you're at work, because that's kind of hot. All right. Morning, afternoon, evening, whatever y'all having. Have a good one. We'll catch you on the next episode. See you later.
Ta-ta.
Cue the music.
Cue it.